It's a real joy to be back at Taylor County, and as Doug mentioned, we knew our kids were going to be here, but we accepted this before we knew they were going to be here. So just a double blessing. We believe in second blessing, don't we? Yeah, so it's wonderful to have the family here. Great to see Stephen and Joyce. I got thinking, however, maybe there's another ulterior motive, because Stephen is an elder of the church where I am hired. Maybe he's checking up to see if I am where I said I was going to be. But Steve, it's wonderful to see you here. Matthew chapter 1, please. Matthew chapter 1, just two verses of Scripture. Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18. Matthew 1, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Verse 23, the virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. William Shakespeare wrote a play a number of years ago where the two key speakers were Romeo and Juliet. It was a love story where these two fell in love with each other, but there was bad blood between the families. They didn't get along with each other. And as Juliet fell in love with Romeo, she made the statement that names are not really very important. The phrase that she used was, a rose by any other name still smells like a rose. Perhaps from that idea that names aren't too important, we in America have gotten the idea that names really don't have much value. My own name serves as an example of that. When I was born, the nurse came to my father after I was born and said, what name have you given him? She wanted to put it on the birth certificate. She said, my father said his name is Eldred. He looked very inquisitively at her and said, sir, why would you name your first son Mildred? And from that day until this, I get Mildred and Eldred and Alfred and Eldred, anything that goes along with it. So names maybe aren't too important after all. But in the Scriptures, a name was vitally important. And the name that's the most meaningful to me is that name, Emmanuel. God with us. That's what Brother Stephen's been preaching about. God with us. And it's amazing to see how these things are really fitting together. Salvation offers the wonderful message that God is with us. We have the privilege of knowing the God. Think about it. The God who is co-equal, the Jesus co-equal with the Father and the Spirit, is with us. He willingly descended into our world. He breathed our air and He felt our pain. He knew our sorrows. He died for our sins. Yet He didn't come to frighten us, but to provide peace and safety. A way in which you and I can live forever. Salvation is all about that. Emmanuel, God with us. An amazing thing. The word Emmanuel shows up first in the Old Testament with a guy by the name of Isaiah. Three quarters of a century before Jesus was born, Isaiah talked about the future suffering Savior, called him the Messiah, and later called him Emmanuel in his passage there. Now at that time, and Brother Stephen's already mentioned this to us, God's people were prisoners in Babylon. Isaiah's job was to go to those people and tell them, yes, they were there because of their sin, but there was a way in which God had a plan for them to come out of that thing shining. They were right now in hurt and shame. But Isaiah gives his whole thought about the suffering Savior, saying, the Lord Himself will give a sign. He will be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. See, God's people at that time were in deep trouble, much like we are in our culture today. We are in deep culture problems in the 21st century. There seems to be no way out. God's people at that time thought there was no way out. We're going to be here forever. We kind of feel that way today. The prophecies of the end of the world seem to be so powerful in our lives. We look at our culture. We look at our economy. We look at our government. Every place we look, it seems like endless horror. Where do we turn? And just like those people in Babylon, we think, there is no place to turn. there's nothing new under the sun, we would say to ourselves. But you know, before we can find help, we've got to meet that Emmanuel. Who is he? We got to understand who he was, what the ancients knew about him. Remember last night, Brother Stephen talked about the Old Testament covenant and then the New Testament. Well, in the Old Testament, Isaiah is talking about that coming Messiah. And that's what he's talking about here, the Emmanuel that is going to be coming. The idea of Emmanuel's continual presence was a concept brand new to Bethlehem. They had never known that before. It was the, you know, God out there and we're here, like Stephen was saying. It was a brand new concept that was coming into the world at that time. They knew the prophecy about Isaiah. They knew the angel had talked to Mary. They knew the angel had talked to Joseph. They knew the angels had talked to the shepherds. But now Matthew expands on the truth that people knew very little about. Emmanuel was a name, but now he's saying here, God with us. He is saying God has a plan where he can live within us and we can be what he wants us to be. It is not just like he said, God's out there, I'm here, I do my best, but God is within us. In spite of our sin, in spite of the hope of the future looking so grim, in spite of all those things, God is saying through us, Emmanuel has come, he is uniting God with man, and he's dwelling within us. And when we begin to understand that, we understand that continual presence, that amazing peace that you and I know about. And it's not because we're part of a good camp meeting. It's not because we're part of a good church. But it is because God himself, Jesus, is dwelling in us, living within us. Today we call it God's omnipresence. He is everywhere, all the time, all at the same time. He's limitless. But you see, there's a problem. And the problem comes because we have discovered over the years there's a gap too often between what we know intellectually and what we live out in our everyday lives. That gap is a promise that we must take care of. It's not a promise. That gap is something we've got to take care of, where we've got to move from our head to our heart. What does it mean that God dwells within me? And it's that I want to talk about this morning as I begin to put meat on the bones of this thing. What does it mean God is in us? Here's the problem. In the church, I think I've discovered at least that we speak a new language. It is called Christianese. I was at the dollar store the other night. They were speaking a whole different language than what we speak here. They don't understand it. So we hear or ask, how are things going? Oh, it's going just great. But all the time our world is falling apart. Or we hear things people say, sorry, didn't shut it off. 777, area code. I'm glad it's not 666. I need to answer this. Hello. It's him. Yes, I'm talking about you, God. Yeah, that's true. But God, I don't really have time to talk to you right now. I'm talking about you. What do you mean that's part of the Christianese? Yeah, I understand, God. Could I get back with you later, God? It may be too late. Huh. Well, God, it's sure good talking to you. I only got a few minutes on my cell phone. I'll have to hang up now, but I'll call you later. I'm too busy, God, talking about you to talk to you. Yeah, you understand? You hear it all the time? Yeah, I understand too. Okay. Well, thanks, God. Have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye. Is that not what we do too often in our lives? We've got our lives all in a nice ball called schedule. We're with our other children up in Michigan. They have four children who love the Lord. They are a great family. but they are so tied up in the things that have to be done. Schedule of a good church. Each child going one direction and the other from what the other is doing. We've got all things mixed up together. And we hear God say, I want you to become a missionary. And we say, but God, don't you realize I've got my life all in order? Don't you realize, God, I can't leave what I'm doing and become a missionary? I've got it all figured out, God. And then God comes to me and he said, Emmanuel. So what does it mean? What does it mean on Monday morning that Emmanuel is God with us? What does it mean on this first morning of our camp meeting that Emmanuel is with us? Because you see, these are questions that we face in the marketplace every day. These are the questions as I went into the laundromat and dealt with people I couldn't understand their language. These are the questions that we deal with as we go into our culture and into our society. These are questions that you and I have got to answer as we go into our culture, because we are saying to our world, we're Christians, but what difference does it make to them? God with us. The presence of God is revealed on a more personal level. And suddenly God has come to be with us. He come to understand us in the slums of life. He is with us when all hope is gone. I've laid in that hospital bed where there just seemed to be no way out. I knew I was going to die. God was there even then. And you know, we can experience as much closeness to God as we want by the amount of time we spend with Him. Closeness with Him, spending time with Him. And the more time we spend with Him, the more time we want to have with Him. It is said of Helen Keller, the blind lady. Helen Keller had such sensitivity to hearing that she could tell when somebody sneaked into a room unannounced. And you know, that's what the presence of God needs to be in my life. I need to be living so closely to my God. It is as if I am in a room closed into myself and all I can hear is Jesus. Are you living that way? That's what Emmanuel is all about. A number of years ago, I was thinking about this same subject, and I wrote a little chorus. It says, I want to walk with you, Lord, and feel your presence. I want to walk with you, Lord, and see your smile. I want to walk with you, Lord, and sense your approval. I want to walk with you, Lord, till I get home. I had a father that I loved dearly who is now in heaven. And I wanted to have his approval. And you know, when you and I get so concerned about the approval of Jesus, and we can look at him and see in his eye that the way we're living is the right way or the wrong way, or if we're too busy to talk to him on the phone or wherever. Oh, there's no greater assurance in all the world than I am with you always. There's no greater story in all the world when he talked to Moses and said, be strong and courageous. He talked to Joshua and said, I'll be with you. I will never forsake you. And then the last words that Jesus spoke when he was going back to heaven, he said to his disciples, I will never leave you, never forsake you. Emmanuel, God is with us. That's our joy. That's what the camp meeting is all about. He's with us through his Spirit. He's with us through the Word. He's with us through His providential care. He's with us through His divine presence everywhere we go. That's what Livingston was all about when he went to Africa. So committed to God that when he died, his instructions were, cut my heart out, my physical heart, and buried in Africa. That was the same commitment of Jim Elliot when he went into the jungles and died for his faith. Hudson Taylor went to China. 205 mission statements, all by himself, because God was his source. And I get so wrapped up in stuff, and I get so wrapped up in what I don't have, and I get so wrapped up in so many things, and God is saying, the same promises I gave Hudson Taylor, I'll give to you. I say, oh God, what's wrong with me? God, what's wrong with me? Why am I living this way? Paul said it so beautifully, he'll never leave me. He said, I am persuaded or convinced. Life nor death, angels nor demons, present nor the future, powers, heights nor depth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. His name is Emmanuel. Jesus Christ is God come in human flesh to dwell among us. He's not merely a good man, although he's that. He's not merely a good teacher, but he's that. But he's the Son of God, and he's come into my world. He's come into your world. And whatever junk you're dealing with today, he wants to deal with that junk. Whatever weight you're carrying, he wants to carry it for you. He wants to be just what he said he would be. Am I living that way? I'm just wondering, am I living in such a way that people of Taylor County would see me and wonder what's going on in my life? You know, some of the great old evangelists of days gone by, it said as they walked into town, the bars would close. Such presence of God. And I say, oh God, I've lived my life and I've done what you've called me to do, but God, I feel so weak. God, what does it mean that Emmanuel is with me? What does it mean, God? What does it mean every day? What does it mean in my church? What does it mean in my church when things aren't going my way? What does it mean, Lord? We're to be authentic. And if we're not authentic, and we complain when things don't go our way, when we act self-righteous, we demonstrate a God who is not strong enough to take care of our own details. We're living in a world gone mad, but God still is God. See, we claim a limitless God, but are we living that way? Are you living that there are no limits to what God can do in you and through you? Do you really live that way? We claim there's power in prayer, but have you experienced it personally? We claim that God wants to do something great in our churches, and we claim prayer is a part of that. How much time do I spend on my knees before God? How much time do I say, oh God, use me any way you want to in my church? It's so much easier to complain. See, the good news about Jesus is something to be shared, and I need to be sharing it. The best people to share the good news are those that know that God is within us. We've got something to share, and we better do something about it. We don't know everything about God. Of course we don't. But we've got something to share, and we had better be sharing it. Christianity is a relationship with a living God, and we've got that ability to live. He said, I am, and I am in you. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, the light of the world, and all of that. And then he said, you can do the same thing or more if you'll live my way. What's it mean? What does it mean that he is the light of the world? What does it mean? I want certain one message I want to preach is that Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, but later he says, you are the light of the world. What's going on? That's, I think, what he's getting at here. We can't imagine a world that Jesus has not come, but he has. God doesn't condone our sin. Think about what God did. He doesn't condone our sin. He doesn't compromise his standard. Does none of that. He doesn't ignore our rebellion. He doesn't relax his demands. But here's what he did. Rather than dismiss our sin, he assumed our sin in his life. He sentenced himself so I could go free. God's holiness is honored. We are redeemed. And God will do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. And God will allow us to live in such a way the world will wonder what is going on in that person's life. I wish I knew how to talk effectively about Jeannie Rawlings. What a woman. What a woman of God. She can't see macular degeneration. I'm going to talk about her in another message. She can't see. I was over one night visiting her, and it was late, it was dark, and I said, Jeannie, I need to go. It's getting dark. She said, I'll take you home on my golf cart. I said, Jeannie, it's getting dark. And you know what that precious lady said? What difference does that make to me? And I went home on her golf cart. She just turned 90 years of age, and she's spending her life making chicken noodle soup for the old people. What am I doing with my life? God, what do you want to do in me? God, set a fire in me. God, what does it mean? You are with us. God, what does it mean if you're in me? God, am I going to live my life any differently? And I say, oh God, thank you for salvation. Thank you for Emmanuel. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Savior. Thank you for Christ the King. Thank you that Jesus is Lord. But thank you that all of you are in us. Oh God, what do you want to do with me? I found in this first morning of camp meeting, I trust you got an understanding of what God is and who He is, what He wants to do. I trust you understand He wants to be King of your life, but He wants to be more than that. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be living in you. And out of that comes kingship. What Stephen said this morning in prayer meeting, this thing of sanctification, it's not a thing. It's a continual relationship with that God who lives within us. He's Emmanuel. He wants to live in you. Every moment of the rest of your life, He wants to be in you. So I ask the question. Some of you have been Christians for many, many years. What have you accomplished for eternity? Be really honest with yourself. When you stand before God, how many people are going to say, I know it's you who invited me here. You know, every time you give to one of our precious missionaries, every time I give to Billy Wayne Fuller, who's in Africa, every African child that's won to Jesus is credited to my account. I wonder, oh God, what am I doing with my money? God, what am I doing with my time? God, what am I doing with the rest of my life? What am I accomplishing for eternity? He said He'd be with me, and He is. But I'm convinced He wants to do more than that. He wants to set me on fire. He wants to set me on fire in such a way that the world will come and find out what's going on. I guarantee you, if this building caught on fire, they'd come from all over Taylor County to find out what's burning. And I wonder, is there any kind of fire within you? Is there anything burning within you? Is there anything that makes you want to go forward with God? Is there anything that looks at your life and says, oh God, I've lived however many years it is. What have I accomplished? Sometimes I just sit and weep. Say, oh God, what's been accomplished, Lord? Emmanuel, 24/7, 365, God is with us. What's happening in your life? What is happening when God calls you? Are you too busy?